B-Pod Studios.
Funny, at the end of the year when the Sixers would be done before they made playoffs, when I was covering them, end of year would come, and then all of a sudden my front porch would just be loaded with stuff. Yeah, every day.
Go figure. Yeah. I have to tell you, you're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery on all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. Did you get a chance to take in the Phillies game last night? I know it was back to the later start time, right? Not a national game.
It's the Cole
game.
Squared game. You had to.
Cole cubed, actually. Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Tray. What was what's the tray?
I forget. I don't remember.
Tray?
Yeah.
Toi?
Yeah. The Cole tray.
Well, so get Cole this. Tray. You had Cole versus Cole.
Not Cole train.
What's everybody? What's Cole Hamill's real name? Is it Cole? Was it Coltrane?
Coltrane.
But anyway, you have two guys that are facing off against each other. The old Cole here in Philadelphia and the new Cole in Philadelphia, Cole Irvin. So great, all right?
Colbert.
Colbert. I know it wasn't
Colbert,
just Cole.
Michael Hamels.
So last night, those two guys were facing off each other. And then wouldn't you know it that Tyler Chatwood comes into the game. You know what his middle name is?
Cole.
Can't have enough Coles. They had all the Cole stats possible. I didn't know Cole Hamels was the all-time leader.
Leading Cole.
I didn't realize that.
And by leaps and bounds.
It's not even close.
No.
You're the all-time leading shot taker for Farzetta-wise for the Harlem Globetrotters also.
That is absolutely correct.
I'm just saying.
By the way, Trey, a guy came up to me on the street just laughing. Uh-huh. I didn't know what was happening. I thought I like had something on my face or whatever. And he goes, Trey's line about they changed my name too. Hilarious.
Oh my God, I got so much feedback on that.
In case you missed it, not to get too sidetracked, but in case you missed it, Bob said that he looks up Coonies on MLB
baseball reference.
How many, who's the best Cooney?
One Bob
of all time?
Cooney. Yeah.
And then he asked me if you ever look up Farzetta, and I'm like, oh, there's no Farzettas. Like, first off, if you're a Farzetta, you're my relative. Like, I think my great grandfather came here, his brother went to Argentina. Like from Italy, as far as that a name, whatever. Both had their last names changed when they migrated, right? Mm. Migrated, I guess. Sure. Whatever. So I was like, yeah, they changed my name when they came over through Ellis Island. And Trey was like, yeah, they changed my family's name too when I came over.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got nothing for that one. But that was a great line by you, my friend. But yesterday. It was a battle of the Coles, and everyone's talking about Cole Hamels and all that stuff. And Cole did something before the game, and unfortunately, the Phillies went on to lose. But Cole Irvin outlasted Cole Hamels by 2/3 of an inning, so that was good. But those 2/3 of an inning extra that Cole Irvin pitched were nothing worth bragging about. But before we go any further about the game, this is the part that really tugged at my heartstrings when it came to Cole Hamels. And as you know, David Montgomery passed away a couple of weeks ago now, and the Phillies have started to wear the DPM patch on their sleeve to honor David Paul Montgomery. And that's something a lot of teams do whenever somebody has passed away. They did it with the HK thing for Harry Callis over the heart on the jersey, which was awesome. Pretty incredible stuff. So Cole Hamels, and this story by way of Jim Salisbury and NBC Sports Philadelphia, during the pregame show, I believe it was, gave this story out regarding Cole Hamels before he took the start against his old team for the first time ever.
But I think deep down inside, he'll always consider himself a Philly. Because he won that championship, and proof of that, he asked the Phillies for one of those patches that they are wearing in honor of David Montgomery. And they did get him one over the last couple days, and I'm sure it's in a cherished spot. So he has great memories of Philadelphia, great memories of the Phillies.
Wow. To go back and just say, hey, I need one of those pets. This is a guy that's now two teams removed from being here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't pitched here in 4 years. And still very, because 2015 was the no-hitter. And then he went to
Texas.
Traded after that game. And then now he's with Chicago.
Addie, my wife last night was like, wait, Cole's a Cub? And I was like, yeah, he is. I was like, doesn't it look weird? She's like, yeah, it's weird. And I was like, I know.
Hashtag stuff my wife says.
Yeah.
My wife said the same thing.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, Cole's on. I didn't realize that. And I was like, I don't know. He just wants to
get. Yeah.
So anyway, that was something that I was listening to yesterday and or saw Jim talk about yesterday and was just like, this guy will never not be a Philly. He'll always be a Philly no matter what. He could be 10 teams removed. He'll always be a Philly. His career was born here. He was raised here. He won here. always a Philly, and right there he shows that he still feels that deep connection. He was just back in the city last year promoting something for his wife.
Yeah.
And they still have the Hamels Foundation.
He was at the Eagles Super Bowl parade. We saw him day when we were broadcasting that morning on Broad Street. He's very much, I think they still have their home here also. Yeah, he's always Philadelphian.
100%. So last night, they go up against each other, the current Cole and the former Cole, right? Well, always a Cole here in Philadelphia. And this was a game that I really wanted to see the Phillies win because I didn't want it to come down to the last game of the series. You're trying to at least get a split. I wanted them to win this series. But I'm saying right now, this was, for me, as a Phillies fan, a must-win situation. Tonight is a must-win situation. This afternoon, a must-win situation because you got your best. Now, Aaron Nola, mm-hmm. who looks like he's back to form, right? You have him going tonight against one of their best, if not their best, in John Lester, a guy who's just been incredible. And this is before you go on to face a three-game series with the Brewers in Milwaukee without your ace. Now, you can say that Zach Eflin is going to get the start in the third game of that series against the Brewers, but you know right now that your best is not going to be available in that series. Now is the time you got to string some wins together because you're up against the toughest talent you're going to face in quite some time. That's why I look at this, and not just some game in May, but this seven-game stretch against the Cubs and the Brewers is huge because you're going up against two of the best teams in the National League, and just like we did all season long with the Sixers, oh, can they beat the best teams? This is a big measuring stick. We talked about it with Jason Stark on Monday about how this series against the Cubs is a big measuring stick. Now you got really this whole seven-game stretch, this road trip, as a big test to see how you measure up against the top-tier teams in the NL. That's why I'm so looking forward to this game this afternoon and really hoping the Phillies win it. For me, as just a fan and my own mental state going forward for the rest of the season, before they face the upper-tier teams again, they have to win this. They have to at least split with the Cubs, and I hope they're able to salvage something with the Brewers.
Yeah, and you have your ace going today. That's exactly what an ace is about. All right, you call it the biggest game of the year. I wrote it down in my notebook. We're going to go back to this. They're 28-21.
I wrote it
right
down.
Now, I did. I wrote it down right here. I have mark in capital letters, your prediction here, or your saying here. But that's exactly what Aaron Nola has to do today. I mean, that's what your ace is about. He's struggling. It's going to be 74 and sunny in Chicago today.
We have
no excuses. Beautiful, beautiful day for baseball there. This is what it's all about. You're on the center stage, Chicago. This is where Aaron Nola has to give you seven good, solid innings, and the bats have to come through a little bit.
Was there ever a moment, Trey? And look, I know this is baseball and all that, but I know that you have to know the guys that you're going up against, and you have to know that this is a test or whatever you might call it, right? And I know you always had laser focus when you played and all that stuff, but when you know you're going up against the best, I mean, how do you not get that little extra edge to your game?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where you going up against anytime you're going up against the top guy, the top team, you should feel that jolt of energy. You want to compete because if you don't, then maybe sports isn't for you.
You know, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because well, you got to want the ball.
Yeah, you got to want the ball. You want to rise to the occasion. You want to feel like that. That little extra twin, that whatever it is, when you're going up against the best, to be able to say, I beat you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved always going up against the big names, the Bruce Smiths, the Derek Thomases, the Dwight Freenies. I mean, because when you can walk out of that game and you didn't give them any sacks, all right.
Stamp of approval. I'm not in your book.
That's right.
They deal with that.
That's right. When they show your highlight reel, they're not showing too many clips of me.
You're not getting put on a poster.
That's right. Yeah.
Mark, you're doing that thing again.
What's the thing?
Where you only talk about the Phillies after a loss.
Oh, what am I doing?
How dare you?
Oh, my God. How
dare you?
I'm just despicable. Like, what can I say?
But then you got two days of it, then.
It could be a lot this week.
Back to back. I hope I don't make it three in a row. Tomorrow.
Pretty tough. You still got the Brewers and the Cardinals and the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, this doesn't even stop this series.
This is tough.
I want to at least split with the Cubs.
Yeah, especially after you take the first game and blow a lead in the second game. Did you see that Tuesday night? I guess it was Tuesday night. That was the bone save night, right?
Yes.
My brain's kind of scrambled.
Yes.
Was
it a loss? Did we talk about it on Wednesday?
We did, yeah. All five NL East teams blew a save that night.
Yeah, and the Mets and Marlins were playing each other?
Yeah.
And they both blew...
That's like really hard to do.
I'm an idiot. No, you're an idiot.
Hold my beer.
I'm a bigger idiot. No, I'm a bigger idiot. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I heard them talking about it last night. But that was what made last night so like disappointing, was that you had two innings of Cole Irvin come out and you're like, all right, Cole.
Yeah, he looked good.
And then
he got a hit.
And he got a hit off Cole Hamels. Yeah, take that, Cole.
Smacked it up the middle.
Yes, he did.
No shift there.
No. You and your shift. You and your shift.
I hate it.
You're looking at the game last night, and you're looking at Cole Irvin, and you're going, first two, he's cruising a little bit. How about my man, right? He got some run support, right? Early in the game, JT Realmuto should have had two RBIs on that double, and they ended up taking one away because I got lost in the ivy. It's the only time I ever look at the ivy. And by the way, is it just me, or does the ivy look a little sickly?
This time of year usually does. It doesn't come into full bloom until, like, I would say early June, maybe late June.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for that
break.
You're
welcome.
That's good ivy knowledge by me. Yes. I keep an eye on the ivy.
We've been to Bob's house.
You're a fan of perennials?
Maybe.
So the ivy's not looking so great. But even if it was looking sharp in mid-season form, if you might say, it would not have changed the outcome of that RBI, what should have been a two-run double by JT Realmuto in the first inning. So the Phillies lose out on the opportunity of a run. So then the third inning happens. Reese Hoskins breaks out of an 0-for-12 slump that he was going through. He gets an RBI single. It's 2-0 Phillies now. Later in the inning, Cesar Hernandez steps to the plate. He makes it 3-0 Phillies with an RBI single. So you're feeling good. Then they miss an opportunity in the fourth inning to tack on some more runs. JT Realmuto flew out with the bases loaded to right field. But before that, you had a 3-0 lead in the third inning, right? You built that 3-0 lead. Anthony Rizzo steps to the plate with two runners on. And Rizzo gets a belt high, quote unquote.
3-0. Yeah, he was waiting on it just a little bit.
To all the kids at home, that's what you do on a 3-0 pitch. This ball disintegrated on contact. It honestly reminded me of like the Matt Stairs home run, right? And against the Dodgers, blast one deep into the night, right? You know, several guys hammer your ass after the game. That's what Matt Stairs, that was the quote.
So what now?
Yep, that's what Matt Stairs said after that home run. Don't you forget it.
Good,
2008, when, we'll play it for you later. Right. But you get to that. And then I think it was, it was Barry Bonds in the 0-2 series against the Angels,
getting your
maybe?
Ass hammered by guys. There's no better feeling than to have that done. And
wow.
Getting your ass hammered by guys. There's no better feeling than to have that done. And
the Canadians have
one more time for the trifecta?
Getting your ass hammered by guys. There's no better feeling than to have that done. And
it was a 3-run home run, so I feel like the trifecta was necessary.
Yeah.
the Canadians have a different way of words up there. Yeah. But so yesterday,
his mouth was full of maple syrup.
Doesn't even know what he's saying.
He's blacked out on sugar.
Was it the Angels, Ian? Was it the Angels Giants World Series 0-2? I want to say it was 0-2. And Barry Bonds hit a home run at Anaheim. That is
Tim Salmon
in the dugout. Yeah, somebody wasn't playing at the time. He wasn't in center field. Somebody in the dugout just goes, "That was the farthest ball I've ever seen hit." Like, you can read their mouth like perfectly. It was like, I have no idea where that ended
up. So much steroids.
It was insane. It was insane. The Rizzo home run disappeared into one of the scoreboards. It was almost like the natural. Like, I expected
that's what I thought of last night.
I expected
night.
And the natural.
And the cover to drop down.
Exactly.
Cover of the baseball to drop down in the field.
Kingery sent one on the Wayland Ave. Is it Wayland? Did I make that up?
Wayland's in left field.
Yeah. He sent one on the Wayland Ave.
Lansdale's right.
It was foul, though.
It was foul, though.
Yeah. It was foul.
He tattooed that thing, though. But it wasn't like Anthony Rizzo.
He absolutely did. Rizzo just destroyed
baseball. He murdered a baseball.
That happened. And I do have an issue with Cubs fans I have to take up in a second. And we'll revisit a little bit with Chris Long and a few here. We'll get into that. But there's something the Cubs do that I think is the hokiest thing. Even hokier than raising the 12th man flag in Seattle. Hmm. We'll get into that coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Here's why you need a little Delilahs in your life. Why not watch the games with a little bit more entertainment? I'm not talking looking at your phone between plays type of entertainment. I'm talking real entertainment. Delilah's kind of entertainment. When we go to the games, we don't want the entertainment to end when the buzzer sounds. That's why I head to Delilah's. It's been voted America's number one gentleman's club. Delilah's is the after party for every win or loss. Just bring your ticket after every home baseball game and you'll get free entry into the best after party in town. You don't even need to wait until after the game. For every home game, there's Coors Light specials during every baseball game. Grab the crew and come down to be surrounded by food, drinks, and the most beautiful showgirls girls just off Delaware Ave on Spring Garden. Delilah's is the perfect place to keep your heart racing before, during, or after the game. Get all the details at Delilah's.com. Delilah's always on top.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Happy Thursday to everybody. Phillies, 2:20 start time today with the fellas.
Perfect. Works a lot better for my schedule.
It is just sad that that's what this makes us do. Not that I'm complaining about hours or anything like that. By the way, you know who I'm jealous of? Insanely jealous of?
People that can sleep in past 2 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're having work done in the building here. They're expanding studios and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and offices here for Beasley Broadcasting and all that. I'm always jealous of construction workers. I am. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Because, and Jimmy Kimmel just talked about this on a podcast with Conan O'Brien recently. We do this job, and what we do kind of just goes out into the air, and there's nothing to show for it. There's like a tweet with like a best of a podcast, right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing. We can't go, oh, look, here's the show I did, whatever. Here's the show we did. Here's the segment
they
we did.
This is what I created.
Yeah. They get to marvel at it forever.
I'm so, like, my uncle was in construction for his whole life, my Uncle John, right? And I was always just, from a little kid, yeah. I was always envious of the idea of, that's what I did. Yeah. Right there.
You see
I did that.
There you go.
And then I enjoy the little aspect of it of like, you know, I did the doors in that building. Like, I always, it's like the little things of that. You have my envy. I admire you. I admire what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you go over there and ask them nicely, they'll let you use the hammer.
I think that would not be wise.
I have one complaint.
What's that?
They are really jamming up the bathrooms here at the One Ballot Plaza building.
Don't bathroom shame.
I'm not shaming. I'm just, I miss my solitude in the early hours.
I will say this about this bathroom here. This is the bathroom that it's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, a lot of traffic.
That's always been the case, though.
A lot of
traffic. Even before the work started.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a high volume situation.
Every time I go in now, I see a pair of construction boots under there, and I'm like, gah! That's my toilet.
You know what? Hashtag Beasley Poops. There you go. Hashtag Beasley Poops. 610-632-0975. Jamie, go ahead and give me an update on the Twitter poll, please. Brought to you by the wonderful people of Window Nation. If you're shopping for windows, shop windownation.com, especially now with their 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Well, the question is simple. Are you upset when you see professional athletes admitting to using marijuana? 1,700 votes, a little bit over that.
Wow.
91%.
All right.
Say nope.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. No problem with it whatsoever. Our buddy Todd Harriman's responded to our tweet with the crying emoji. And I guess maybe he thought we were anti or something the way we phrased it. I don't know. And I just wrote back Todd. I was like, Todd, 91% of the people support it.
Yes.
Good.
These are the results that we wanted.
Like, yeah.
We all went around the horn before we threw the question out on Twitter, and we said that we're not upset. And this is coming to light because of Chris Long saying that he smoked weed throughout. Smoked is the key thing here. Smoked weed throughout his career. And he didn't even go with the pain management route that a lot of people use for their argument. He went with more or less the day-to-day NFL life. That would wear and tear on him. Mm-hmm. And he found that he had more pain management from Toradol than anything else. So he didn't use really so much the pain management angle. He just liked doing it and felt that it helped him throughout his everyday life.
Yeah.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Never said he did it before games or anything like that. Never affected his play or anything. And we all went around saying how this has really changed over really the last decade, the last 5 years immensely, the last 2 years incredibly. So all of us are looking at it like these headlines try to grab our attention with almost a shaming attitude. And our point is, yeah, people don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a shameful thing or something that people will be upset about. It used to be a lot. And now it's not anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the point we're trying to make with all this. Very simple thing, Trey.
Yeah, very simple thing, man. You know, I mean, come on. I mean.
Especially if you're not in the program.
Yeah, especially if you're not in the program.
In the NFL, as long as you're not in that program.
When Chris says that, you know, like, you know when he's coming and Trey backs it up. Like, you can be diligent about it. You can get away with it. You can go under the radar. How the hell does Randy Gregory, somebody like from the Dallas Cowboys, fail 7 drug tests?
He doesn't care.
Yeah, you don't care. You know, or maybe you.
But don't you have a paycheck to protect?
Yeah, but maybe he got caught during that time where you're like, all right, you had your timing off. Where you're thinking, okay, well, you know what? I have 3 weeks before I can get tested again. You know what I'm saying?
And then they're like, hey, Randy.
Yeah,
we need to test now.
If you're in the program, once you're in the program, you're in the program for 2 years. You have to do 2 years in the program. If you come up dirty in the program, then now you know it becomes a problem again because you know I think you have one other test after that. If you could get suspended or something like that, but
yeah, you would think you'd get it straight. But then, like, look, I know that marijuana doesn't have nicotine; it's not addictive, right? But you can get addicted to anything,
mm-hmm.
depending on your personality.
Yeah.
So he might have a problem with addiction, but not necessarily mm-hmm. like a horrendous drug addiction. It could just be the thing that he is addicted to.
And then when you're around everybody around you, it's just like when you're trying to someone that drinks, and if you're trying to kick. Drinking, you can't sit around a bar. You know, if you're trying to get clean from smoking, you can't have all of your peers around you or sitting at a house and everybody's sitting around smoking and you're like, all right, I have to get clean right now. That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, it's just tough though, you know, especially when it's someone like that just keeps getting popped.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, once you're in the program, you're in there for 2 years, but
You bring up a good point, Mark. Yeah, stupidity, Trey, you're right. But yeah, maybe it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing 7 times, like, if you can't just stop for nothing else but that huge paycheck,
yeah, right.
Well, then, yeah, you got a problem. You got to change your lifestyle.
Just a little bit. Now, I teased this earlier, and I want to get to this. And we went around. Have we all been to Wrigley? Bob, you said you had not been to Wrigley?
I haven't been to Wrigley.
And you haven't? So I really like going to Wrigley. Mm-hmm. And I love the whole experience of Wrigley Field and all that stuff. I've talked about that the other day. But go Cubs go. Has to be the corniest thing in all of sports. Are you aware of this? Jamie, have you seen this?
Yeah, actually, Egan, when you teased it before the last break, Egan goes, oh, I bet he's talking about the Go Cubs Go song that they do, and it's terrible.
I didn't. Maybe 6 years ago, I was at Wrigley Field, and the Cubs won. Previously, I was out there. They played the Cardinals, and the Cardinals beat them. But this is the first time I was ever in Wrigley, maybe 6 years ago, when they won. And they won, and I was like getting out of my seat, and I don't remember who they were playing. And I get up, and they're playing the Tigers. And I get up. And I go to walk out, and everyone's still in their seats, and they're all singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is, huh? And they have this song, something along the lines of, hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs gone and won today, or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Singing, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go.
Hmm.
It is the corniest thing I have ever seen in all of sports. Friendly confines or not, it is the hokiest, corniest thing I've ever seen in sports.
Now,
what?
You know,
Go ahead.
What?
Say what I was going to say.
What are you going to say?
All I'm saying is, you know, we are looking at Chicago saying that their song sucks.
And they're soft.
Yeah, the people on the outside world might look at us with the EAG.
Oh, no, not even
Fly Eagles, fly.
Stop it. Every dead team has their fight song.
Okay, so that's theirs.
Corny. Oh, God. Okay, listen to this. They're saying go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. This is just, turn, this is awesome. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs are gonna win. First off, they sing it after they already won, so the tense is off.
So it's kind of that clap your hands,
grammar.
Everybody.
That is the greatest song known to man. That's not even close. We play that at all times.
Yeah, this song does suck, though.
Here we go. There it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, Jeff. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, we're winning. We're definitely winning.
This thing's got that funky soul, brother. See, this is phenomenal. Then the other one is like, what, a misfit song of the 80s? Is it country?
Sounds gospel-y.
This got gospel vibes to it?
Yeah.
Is
Sounds like somebody was on a lot of drugs that wrote this.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of weed.
Hi, everybody. Let me tell you about
guitar,
Sean
right?
Dumpster. Everybody, go Cubs, go. Hi.
You see your boy Casa sang the seventh inning the other night?
Yes, he did. And you know what? He has the voice of an angel. How about that?
Kind of like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Should I text Bob? He's a song.
Songbird of his generation.
Thank you. Can't put the words together. I'm an idiot. Yeah,
it's the hokiest song. And they caught him a little bit last night after the game, after the win, and they were singing the song on our network. On NBC Sports Philadelphia. And I'm like, that still is the dumbest thing in sports.
It's a Midwestern song, yeah.
Like Midwestern gospel kind of vibe?
Yeah, it's
kind
of weird. I could see singing it like in the middle of the afternoon, you know, because they have afternoon games. Like, yeah, we're drunk at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Great, we're going to sing this stupid song.
Yeah, it was awful.
It's pretty bad. I was giving it a chance. That's why I was listening really intently. Yeah, it's bad.
I love traditions. Yeah. I love traditions.
That's stupid. Take that, Cubs.
The song could be better. The tradition isn't stupid.
Well, why do you sing it after a win when they say they're going to win today? That's pretty cocky after you know they already won.
It's a terrible song.
Yeah, it's bad.
Thank you.
All right, a tough town like Chicago, that's a bad song.
That's moderately tough. Graf Media, what's up, buddy?
I judge songs off of their remixes, and I think that 76ers EDM remix is far better than that of Go Cubs Go. And on top of that, Go Cubs Go is not as corny as The Wave, Mr. Farzetta. The Wave is very corny.
Well, see, a lot of people do The Wave. It's not unique to a particular fan base. Yes, The Wave is corny. It better be 15-0 if you're doing a wave in a stadium, right? But this particular thing. Oh, no. I take part. I take part in The Wave.
Stop, Mark. Then you're corny, Mark.
Why am I corny?
Dude, The Wave is pretty cool. Yes. I like to be a part of The Wave.
So great. Yeah. When it comes around you.
The anticipation of standing up and, hey!
Oh, my God. Guys, it's coming our way. Get ready!
Woo! Wait.
We're doing it here in the office right now.
Now, Grab, I'll tell you this much. I'll tell you what's bad. I'll tell you what's the worst part of The Wave.
All right.
And I'll tell you right now what's the worst part of The Wave. Speaking of hokey things, the guy that has the unsuccessful attempt at trying to get The Wave started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it takes a while.
He's also the best part. He's also the best part of The Wave because everybody looks at him and laughs.
That's pretty much like, dude, I ain't getting up, bro. Like, those are really my favorite people. Those are my favorite people on the planet. They're just like, dude, we're not.
That's me.
Sit down.
Yeah. I'm
stop
like, no. No.
I'm not doing it. I'm comfortable.
I'm your favorite person on the planet. That's good to know.
Well, you're not far off, Brad.
I have to say. That's such a hard thing to start, though, The Wave, man.
You need numerous people on your side.
Yeah.
Right, that are not Graf, obviously, or me, for most parts. So what do you got on the... So, Graf, what do you got on the weed?
All right, so, look.
You holding, man?
I think Chris Long has an opportunity here to kind of introduce the medical aspect, or help introduce the medical aspect of marijuana when it comes to football. And, like, I'm just going to give a brief example. So CTE, for the best example of marijuana purposes, there was actually an article that was released a couple of years ago from Sports Illustrated that looked into the medical benefits of marijuana and CTE and how marijuana counteracts the effects of CTE. So what happens in CTE is someone will crack their head against something hard, and then these toxic proteins in the brain are released. And then once they're released, it actually winds up damaging the brain tissue, which in effect kind of kills the brain. So what they did is they started introducing marijuana to some of the diets of the individuals who were suffering from CTE.
Huh.
And what they found is that marijuana actually winds up counteracting the effects of those proteins and keeping the brain alive and still healthy, even in those times of when those concussions occur. So, obviously, it's still in its infancy because the issue right now is that marijuana being federally illegal means that there's no federal grants in order to study the medical benefits of marijuana.
Hmm.
So a lot of privatized companies are looking into it. And fortunately, some states are starting to also develop research programs. So there's actually a real benefit to it, mm-hmm. whether we all kind of have our beliefs about it recreationally or not.
Right.
And I could go on and on and on about it, but I just want to say, like,
he's a great example of someone who can do that and also maintain a very healthy, comfortable lifestyle. Yeah. And also do great things. Like, let's not forget, this man was the Walter Payton Man of the Year. That's a big notch on the belt for a pot smoker. Like,
well, finish your point.
All right, I'm just saying, like, I think he right now stands to make a pretty good move. And I think all professional sports should look into it, because the truth is, you could supplement marijuana for things like a 5-milligram Percocet or Oxy, or 30-milligram Percocet or Oxy, and then you don't have the negative side effects that come with those things, like the constipation and the shakes and things like that.
Let alone the addiction, right?
The addiction. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right, Bob? And that's one of the other things that places like Denver, Colorado are looking into, is how the recreational legalization of marijuana is negatively affecting the addiction patterns of people who take pain medicine. And what they're finding is, the more the marijuana is introduced into society legally, the less you see the addiction grow within these things that use opiates as painkillers. So it's really actually a cool thing. And I feel like if the NFL gets into it, they're such a powerhouse in the world of politics that they could actually influence the way in which the country looks at marijuana from here on out.
I really
hope the NFL gets into it. Love you guys. Sorry.
I think Graf is somewhat passionate about this subject.
Absolutely.
Well, he's stoned right now.
He's medicated, I believe, is the proper terminology.
Yeah. My wife just sent me a text. You guys are really funny today. I said, yeah, because we're all stoned out of our minds.
So many edibles this morning. Yeah. Exactly. Freaking out, man.
We all Ubered. We all Ubered together.
We're all staying all day long here.
I've admitted, this is not my, this ain't my thing.
This is not your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Well, just my... like, I don't smoke.
I got you covered.
Like, I'll be honest with you, it's not
area of expertise.
I enjoy a cigar, I enjoy the occasional cigar, and I enjoy drinking. I do. Those are my, I guess, vices, yeah. I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I never was into the marijuana.
So Graf brought up Denver and Colorado. Did you see what they're trying to do now?
Well, I was just there, and I walked by, literally, yes, I walked by a couple of these places, right?
The mushrooms?
Perusing.
No.
They're trying to legalize recreational mushroom use now.
Ooh. That might be a little...
That might be... That, I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead. I've been around fellas that have had the bad trips. Because I was, like, not for nothing. I'll be honest. I was a straight-edge kid.
We covered it. Mark the narc.
Yeah. Mark the narc.
No.
And I also wanted to be a police officer.
I took classes to be a narc.
I took one class to be a narc, and I was like, I already know this stuff because I'm a narc. No. But no, in all seriousness, like, whatever. My friends enjoyed recreational experimenting, I guess, when it came to this scene. And I had to be the guy, if somebody had a bad trip, to talk that guy down. Because guess what? From a very young age, I could talk for 4 hours and not be interrupted and be fine. But so that was kind of my deal. And I've seen people on really bad trips, and I'm like, they were on mushrooms. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to go there. Yeah. I don't know if I want to be like,
Colorado, y'all crazy.
Yeah. Mile High City. It just recently got that nickname, from what I understand. We'll run through some of the comments on Pro Football Talk's Twitter page when it came to Chris Long. We'll jump back into the Phillies a little bit. And there's a story that's come out about Ben Simmons. There's a quote from a pretty prestigious player about Ben Simmons. And I want to delve into this because there's a couple of different things that this player, former player, explores that are somewhat inappropriate, and some of it is actually, I think, based in fact and how a lot of us feel. So we'll get into that in a minute, and also the personal life of Ben Simmons we'll delve into a little bit as well, because that's back in the news. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you if you want to jump on. 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Mike Sielski from the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com. 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Ricky Pitalico. Time at the Fanatic is 740.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
We have Trey pulling the air guitar out over here. What do we have here? What do we got?
Anderson.
Ah. Little
Anderson.
Ah. Very nice.
Yeah. This is Trey saw the other night.
Oh, is this who you saw the other night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, hands down, at the Met. First of all, I hadn't been in the Met since we've had the cornhole.
It's gorgeous.
Right, Super Bowl. Yeah, yeah.
Super Bowl, yeah. So, you know, going in there, just the venue was really cool for the event. And I mean, dude, this dude put on a show was absolutely ridiculous. I really enjoyed his performance.
Okay. The first time we walked into the Met for Super Bowl, we did a little walkthrough before the event. I was like, are they sure about this?
This is too nice for us.
This is too nice. This is too nice an establishment for our kind.
Guess who was at the concert, Pat Egan tells me.
Who's that?
You wouldn't guess this in a million guesses.
Dan Quayle. I don't know.
Close. Joe Blanton. He was at the Anderson Paak concert at the Met the other night.
And just hanging out.
He was having a good time.
Fat Joe B?
Fat Joe B.
Oh, about that.
I always loved Joe B.
Is he living in the area?
I have no idea.
You know, players tend to stick around here because we're a pretty awesome city.
I've heard that.
Not for nothing. By the way, our friend Molly, who's a loyal listener. And
Molly Dalton.
She's a frequent tweeter of the show as well. She's totally calling me out for being a narc on Twitter right now.
I know, right?
And I was like, come on, Molly. You know, what is it? Snitches get stitches. I know my place. And she goes, this is where she got me. She goes, hey, you admitted to dry snitching a couple of weeks ago. Remember, I bumped into that girl who was with that guy, and he's like, oh, good to meet you. I was like, oh, no, we met at the game. And it was a different guy.
Hey, snitches get stitches, man. All rules, snitches get stitches.
And I was like, you got me there. I got nothing on that one.
A checkered past. There's no question. We got to watch what we say about
my past is nothing but bland. If it was a checkerboard, it'd just be all red checkers, unfortunately, or red marks on the board. Now, coming up, we had a conversation we were getting to a little bit earlier about milk. Jamie, I have a story for you, and it's something that obviously as a milk hater, as an anti-milkman, this will blow your mind.
Like my cousin Tim, when we have pizza, if we're at his house or my house, he'll be like, oh, do you have a glass of milk?
And pizza is gross.
And I'm like, oh, dude, stop.
I hope I'm teasing this properly, but you remember the story I told about the non-carver?
That's what she said.
About the non-carver, right?
Yeah.
Guy wouldn't carve his bird in his own house, and I had to intervene, and then he wouldn't sit at the head of his table. Remember the story, right?
Yeah, wouldn't touch his bird.
Milk was a bad choice.
it involves the non-carver, the same individual, and it also involves a young man, a grade school age, who was drinking milk at a family kind of party, right? And
seems pretty normal.
Yeah, it seems like it's going in the right direction.
So we'll get into that a little bit later. That's all I'll say for now. Cynthia, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Cynthia?
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks.
I am fantastic.
Hey, whose wife was it that texted them saying that you guys are hilarious today?
That would be Bob Cooney's wife.
Bob Cooney?
Yes.
That would be his wife, the lovely Donna, who texted her husband, Bob, yes.
No, because you guys are funny. So you guys are extra funny today. I just want to say, I want to hang out with all your wives. Like, especially, whose wife is Celeste?
That would be my wife, Mark Farzetta's wife, Celeste.
Okay, she's awesome.
We got some awesome queens here.
We're a four pack of lucky dudes. I will say that much. Our wives are pretty kick ass. I've known Jamie's wife the longest, Addie, and I mean Jamie introduced me to my wife. Bob and Donna's a gem, and Rose is an absolute peach. Trey.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I also want to to put some input on the weed situation.
Go ahead, Cynthia.
So Okay, because there's nothing more, like, there's nothing better than going to, and I don't want to be, like, boring or whatever, but, like, there's nothing better than going to a sporting event or to, like, be a fan of a certain athlete and knowing that that athlete was clean throughout his career.
Mm.
You know, so it's just, like, I don't, like, I want to kind of, like, debunk the whole medical whatever that the other caller had because
okay.
It's just, like, your kids are looking at that. You know, you're, like, your kids grow up. Like, remember being a kid and, like, you know, being disappointed because you found out that Sammy Sosa was on a certain drug or whatever during his career. And, like, none of that stuff was natural. So, like, you're thinking, like, whoa, like, none of the things that...
Right.
Or we don't know how long he was on it, but you're just, like, none of the performances and stuff, like, it wasn't natural. So it's just, like, your kids are looking up to it and they're like, so I have to do drugs to be that good?
Right. No, Cynthia, I made the blanket statement. I don't want my athletes on anything. I want to go to a game and I want to know what that their great numbers they may be putting up are because they're just great players and not because they're juicing. And I want to believe when I go to a sporting event, I'm not watching a guy who's not taking his career seriously enough by maybe overdoing it with marijuana or overdoing it with alcohol. Like, I don't want those. I don't want them to be hindered or enhanced. I just want them to be natural.
Right, because, like, weed, it doesn't enhance you. It's, like, it hinders you and alcohol and stuff like that. So it's just, like, why even?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you, Cynthia. Thanks for the kind words. I'll pass it along to all our missuses.
No problem. Thank you.
And you stop in any time if you just want to hang out with us.
All right. All your wives.
They have real jobs. So, I don't know if they'll make it in. Thanks, Cynthia. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 610-632-0907. How about that? Our lady's getting compliments.
I got a text from my cousin. He's like, I think Cynthia's high.
I thought that's where she was going.
I did, too.
When she said there's nothing better than going to a game, and I thought she was going to say stoned off your ass.
Yes.
And watching the player. And then, but she went the other way, saying there's nothing better than going to the game and knowing that your favorite athlete has never.
Right.
But I was going to ask her, like, say her favorite athlete of all time is whoever.
Right.
Name someone. And you said,
Sean Charles Barkley.
All right. You couldn't have gone two ends of the spectrum more than you guys did.
Hall of Sean Famer Bradley and Hall of Fame boss.
So she loved Charles Barkley. And then you say something like, oh, yeah, well, I was out with Charles during the offseason. And, yeah, he gets high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say you said that to her. Would that totally devastate her? That's where we are. Like,
yeah,
it used to back in the day. It may have me. I didn't like it, but now it's kind of okay. So what?
I think I was 14, maybe 15, when Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire had the home run race and all that stuff, and it was the most incredible thing ever, right? And I was still, you know, young, I guess, naive, and
right.
I wanted to know. I wanted to believe that it was all natural. Like, oh my God, this incredible thing that's never happened is happening. Someone might hit 61 home runs, 62 home runs. It was unbelievable. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was experiencing this. And then it was like, well, yeah, if you're a good hitter, you have good eye-hand coordination, and you have this power, this extra added power, you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, formula. And I'm not, you're an idiot if you think you pop steroids or you inject steroids and all of a sudden you hit 70 home runs in a season. That's not how it works. You have to be a very gifted athlete.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds was a Hall of Fame player and he became one of the greatest of all time, like a top 10 type of player with those numbers, if not the best player of all time by the numbers, because he used the performance enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot to be said about it. So we'll continue to dissect all this. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to have Mike Sielski on from the Philadelphia Inquirer to talk about all things going on in the sports world right now. Because we talked to Adam Schefter yesterday. And Adam Schefter had some interesting things to say about Carson Wentz's contract for the second consecutive week. He really feels as if something is going to get done before the season, possibly even before training camp, where something could get done with Carson Wentz. And I want to know if people think that's the right thing to do right now. Because I believe it's one more year. You can control him for one more year.
Correct.
And then you have to re-sign him. So they already picked up his option from what I understand. So what would you do with Carson Wentz at this point? Would you try to lock him in at a low number? And I hate to use the term, but lowball him a little bit because he has been injured. And when we've talked about this before, that's the better play for the Eagles. That might not be the better play for Carson Wentz. And the question that comes in is whether or not if you're Carson, you bet on yourself and you try to get that big money next year. Don't agree to anything right now. Go out, ball, have another MVP caliber season, and then cash in a little bit.
That would be the better play for Carson, I think. But we'll dissect that a little bit coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.